Ken?
Yeah.
Ken?
This is.
He's eating an apple.
Rashi and Shabbos.
Maybe you can put your mute on, Moshe.
Engage your mute button.
I hear an echo.
I could turn the volume really low. Anyone would be able to ask anything.
What?
I said.
Yeah. So the Rashi in the Gemara in Tehei Yom Aleph and Shabbos. So it's a very interesting daf. A lot of pictures here, but
so pretty.
But question is the mingling of vegetables in the garden. Okay, koyim. So,
Moshe, could you turn them?
You think he heard you?
Yes, I do.
So, we hold like this. So, the Gemara says that you can plant 5 different vegetables in 6 tefachim, in a square, 6 tefachim wide, in 6 tefachim square. Okay, I'm a close exactly. How that's going to be configured, but that's the shear. So why is that the minimal shear? Because you have to have 3 tefachim between the closest plants. Okay, so if you imagine. One dead center, right, and others on the perimeter, then the center is at the closest point, 3 tefachim to the perimeter, because 6 tefachim squared. And don't worry about the width of the vegetable itself. Okay? So why is that the shear? Because that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, Kim luhu l'rabonan d'chamisha b'shisa lo yanki mi'adadi. It's a question of the shear yanika, that the vegetables can't share in their in the place that they're nourished from. That's considered a part of a tyrovis, part of a mixture, that they're yonik from the same place. So the Gemara says that the shear yanika is a tefach and a half. So as long as there's 3 tefachim between each one. Right, then they're not sharing any unika. Right, so that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, "V'kim lulu rabbanan, the chamisha b'shisa lo yanki me'adadi." So the Gemara says that the Chachamim figured this out. Chachamim established this. The Gemara asks an interesting question. It says, "Umi nolan dahad the kim lulu rabbanan milsehi." Says, "But how do we know?" Now there are different ways to interpret that question. But here's what Rashi says. How do we know that which the Rabbanan established as the Shir Yanika, milsohi lemismach Allah? How do we know that it's something that we can that you can rely on? V'lomar v'kiyin hein hachachamim b'avodas adama. How can we rely on it and say that the Chachamim were experts in agriculture? Leida kama yongim, that they should know exactly how much a thing gets nourishment from. Shelo tisma lomar mi hodia lebrios shir yanika, so that you shouldn't be astounded and say, who told the brios the shir yanika? Ve'ech yuchlu lamurokach, how could we possibly figure this out? It's an interesting Rashi. Rashi's other Rishonim seem to interpret it the other way, that since the Chachamim say it, that's a thing. That makes it the halachic reality. But Rashi's learning different. He's learning plain pshat. He says, it's very nice the Chachamim say this is the Shir Yanika, but how do we know that they know what they're talking about in Yanika? Where do they get such expertise? In Avodas Adoma, to know exactly how close two things can be before they're sharing sustenance. So the Gemara answers. The Gemara says, "Domer b'chia bar Abba, Omer b'Yochanan, ma'idich siv lo sasig vol re'acha asher govlu rishonim." What does it mean that you can't change the border, that the first one's set? Gvul shegovlu rishonim lo sasig. My govlu rishonim. So what did the rishonim determine? What border did they set? Omer Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, tichsiv eilu bnei seir achori, yoshvei haaretz. So it says they are the chori are yoshvei haaretz. So the Gemara says otu kuli alma yoshvei rakiyaninu. So what do you mean that the chori are yoshvei haaretz? They dwell on the land. Everyone else dwells in the sky. Gemara's question. So it says no. It means they were experts in agriculture. And they were able to taste the ground and know what to plant, as the Gemara says. So in other words, the answer to the question is the Rabbanan learned it from the Chori. They got it from these people who had a tremendous expertise in agriculture. And that's where the Chacham got it from. It's an interesting Gemara. The Gemara is questioning the Chachamim's authority in establishing scientific facts.
How did you see the other Rishonim?
The other Rishonim say, read it more as a statement. Like the Rabbeinu Chananel says. He says, V'ikr daha milsa, I'm sorry, he says, Ikra de Milsa de Kimlu le Rabbanan. And then he says, the Ikra of the Milsa is what the Chacham established, right, about the Shir Yanika. V'kol de Kimlu le Rabbanan Milsi. That is the thing. Whatever they said is the thing. You know what I'm saying? Umi Nolan, he would learn like this. Umi Nolan, and how do you know this? Daha de Kimlu le Rabbanan Milsi. That it's a fact, though, is the thing.
So why does the Gemara have to go on and say that they got it from the Chori?
And that would just be... It's a good question.
You're just saying that it's based on reality, but then they can establish it. They are covered the halachic reality, but it's based on what they think reality is.
And then he goes on, V'ika yoshvei aretz shebakiyam b'yeshivoso shel aretz debririn lehu. And it's like that's like a raya, that people can have this knowledge. Not that they got it from the Chori, but the interesting thing is that it's not something that's from Misora. That's why the Gemara is asking it, because it's saying Kimhu Rabbanan. The Rabbanan figured it out. So then Rashi says it's a legitimate question to say, how do we know that we can trust them? Rashi says it's an amazing thing. He says, how do we know Minolon? How do we know the had the kimlu rabbanon the shir yanika that which the rabbanon did establish milsehi lemismachala is something that we can rely on? Because Rashi's learning shir yanika is the halachic. That's an isser. So you have to. It's not something the chacham can just come along and create a halachic reality. There is a halachic already. Halacha already says there can't be any yanika. That's a physical reality. Whatever is yanika is usser. So how the Rabbanan know exactly what is Yanika? It's not like a Chacham are creating an institution of Yanika and then they can establish its guidelines. Yanika is a reality already in Halacha. It is a reality already. Now you have to make sure you're avoiding it. So you have to really have an expertise in agriculture. And apparently we don't just assume that the Chachamim know every single area expertly. And the Gemara concludes that they had to learn it from the Chori. I mean, it obviously was handed down. They weren't that was a long time before. But
that could be the Machlokas. Meaning did they objective between the Rishonim and how to learn? Did they objectify the Shia Or did they keep with the concept of the Yanuka?
I just said it's interesting, Rashi. I'm not actually going to focus on it now. But, right, it's interesting, Rashi.
Yeah. It reminds me of the roasting of the fish and meat.
Yeah, what's that?
The, you know, like the takana that is based upon the sakana.
Right.
In the areas of science, you don't have to rely on the...
Right, but this is even an area of science that's within the halachic framework of Kalayim. They didn't get this as a Masorah. That's interesting to me. They did not get as part of a Masorah a Shir Yanika. But I think the thing is, because Rashi holds that the whole thing of the Rabbanim, really. It's complicated.
Does that mean then halachically that if we were to find out the facts were different, then that would change, since it was just based.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
It's a good question. You have a right to rely on this.
Right.
See, it's interesting. The Balaam Moor tries to answer that kind. The Balaam Moor also has a different, has an interesting approach too. He has a different interesting approach too to this question. Everybody's bothered by it, though. He says like this. I don't really understand exactly what he means, but he says, "V'ika me'rabso the maku b'kahaisa." They were objecting to it, gnashing their teeth. I think it is. Amai lo katani tishas around. All right, whole question. Why does it say five? Should have been nine. But he says like this. He says, "Uladaiti ein lanu lahakshos zos hakushya." Says we can't ask this question. Why the Gemara limiting it to five? It's machlokes how you learn where the five are, but it's possible to really have nine. If you think about it, it's possible to have in a square that's 6x6. It's possible to have nine different things growing, and each thing is three away from each other. Of course, you can have every corner, right? And every center of each line, and one dead in the middle. So everything is three away from each other. So why did the Mishnah limit it to five? Why couldn't it be nine? So Rashi learns differently. That whatever, it's machlokes. But he says like this. He says we can't ask this question. Why? Kevan de Bigamora kimlu l'rabbonon de chamisha b'shisa lo yanti. That the Gemara says the Chum established that Alayu Samchinan, we have to rely on them. The Hochi Kimluhu, that's what they established. V'luaz Linan Bosar Svara Didan, we can't go by our Svara, that we see that you can fit more in here and not have any problem with Yanika. Why? But he gives an interesting thing. He doesn't just say because you have to just ignore your das. He says, "Lefishi yesh lomar shim hoya zorea gimel zeroyim b'chol ruach," meaning he's double counting. You know what I mean? Three on each side. It's really eight all around. Mitoch shehem smuchim legvulin hagavul ma'arvon ayideshu Moshe ha'ofar tadir legvulin v'notol mikan v'nosin lekan. The koyanki zeroyim yadodi kishemezes ha'ofar min hazeroyim. The gvulin. Lefisha alach luchas hazeroyim urevas im ha'ofar. I know exactly what he's saying. He's saying you're going to start moving the dirt around to maintain these rows. You're going to start digging and moving the dirt around. It's going to turn out that it's going to come that you can take dirt from one thing, put it next to the other one, and it's going to eventually be like an irv. It's going to be like a turnover of the soil. Planting too many things is going to require you to keep digging it up. And then it's going to turn out you're going to take the dirt from one place and put it in the next place, and that's considered yanika too. But he's saying you can't figure out exactly what they were thinking about. That's what he's saying. You can't exactly figure out what they were considering yanika and what they were worrying about would ultimately come. It doesn't mean that it's true in a steady state you might be able to get more things in here. But you don't know what framework they were thinking of. They were thinking in a different framework. They were thinking of what would happen if it would keep going. You know what I'm saying? But he's also saying that they figured this out. He doesn't go into the rest of the Gemara though. But he's saying that's interesting what he's saying. He's saying you can't know exactly what framework they're in. You know what I'm saying? That's a mistake. That's a big mistake. To look at what a Chacham says and say it's wrong because you don't necessarily know what framework he's viewing it in. You know what I'm saying? In a steady state of six Tvachim, you could say I can fit more in. But that wasn't what they were concerned with. They were looking at it as an actively maintained patch. Yeah.
If you have two 6x6 patches right together,
that's a whole sugya.
No. But I'm saying in that case, you couldn't put on in both those boxes one on every corner. You know, for one of the boxes, you have to put in the middle of the side, and on the other
machlokas,
side.
The machlokas in the Gemara, is the Mishnah talking about a patch on its own, or is it talking about a patch among patches? Right?
Yeah.
Gets a little more complicated, because sheer unika is only one factor. Sometimes you don't need to worry about unika at all. A little more complicated. But the point is, it's an interesting Rashi, that you don't just say, the Gemara itself is questioning. It's Tanayim, really. It's Tanayim, because it's a Mishnah. Questioning, how did the Tanayim know this? Can't just say, well, they knew it. How did they know it? They were sitting in base measures all day. Okay.
It's probably not a very popular
I never heard that one quoted before.
I can't imagine why.
It's like fear almost.
Yeah, it is. It's straight up fear.
Okay. It's a modern day fear, not real fear. All right.
It's a Zurabek fear.
That's right.
You should give that one to the zoo rabbi.
That's true. That'd be a good one for him. So just put Rashi in the KM too. That's all I think. Okay.
Soon we'll see Gemara's print around.
See, it would depend on the machlokus of whether this whole Shir Yanika is the rice or not. Would seem.
What would depend on that?
Whether you can say that something that Rabbanim established is per se fact. If they establish the idea of Shir Yanika of Yanika at all, then they can make a gvul.
If there's already a pre-existing derisa,
right, and then they just figured it out, right. See, Treifus is different. Someone was asking me about Treifus. But Treifus is Halacha Moshe Mitzinai. It doesn't say Kimlu L'Rabbanan. As a matter of fact, the Gemara objects to people trying, to other Amoraim trying to add Treifus. There were cases where and the Gemara says, well, why don't you say this is also Treifa? The Gemara objects to that. You can't add things. Even though it is based on the idea that it's going to die, in certain cases, the Gemara tries to say maybe this should be a treifa too. Says, no, that wasn't halacha moshe Mitzinai. That's it. I think the Rambam says it really doesn't have to do with dying. It's just halacha moshe Mitzinai. Treifas is an interesting area in this regard. Treifas is an interesting area because some do learn. I think Rashi does learn it means it's going to die. It's a question exactly if it's just halacha moshe Mitzinai or if it means it's really going to die. But there were cases in the Gemara where certain Amoraim did experiments. They did experiments to see if the thing would live or not.
Animals?
Not that they harmed the animal. I think they tried to save the animal. They tried to do certain things to keep the animal alive. See if you can keep it alive. But it's mashma, you'd be allowed to do it anyway, just for the halachic knowledge. Because that's what... That's the chew from the Ram. Remember we saw...
I thought it was Rav Sajagon, the lifespan of an animal.
No, that's true. But there's a chew from the Rambam. There's a chew from the Rambam where he... There's one of the trefos. One of the psulim of Shechita is where you pull the simonim out. Where you pull out the simonim.
Eagle.
Right. I'm trying to remember. But and you can't cut the simanim too high or too low also. But the question is where exactly is too high and where exactly is too low. So someone asked the Rambam, could you please explain to me where is too high and where is too low? I think that was the question. Remember that?
Yeah.
The Rambam says it's impossible to convey it in words. It's impossible to convey it in words. He says, but I would recommend that you do your own experiments. And he said, take a chicken, remember that? He said, and choke it to death so that you don't ruin the simonim. And then open it up and examine it. Right? Or something like that. And then he says, also pull on it, and you'll see where it tears first. So he has certain things to do.
Oh my God.
But after that, but he says, you're allowed to kill the chicken, you're going to make it in the Vela. Yeah. But you want to learn this halachic knowledge, you're allowed to do it.
Interesting.
Because he recommended choking it, because you don't want to ruin the simonim. If you cut it, you can't shecht it, because then the simonim retract. Once you cut the simonim, they retract. They pull back very quickly.
You could just suffocate it.
You have to suffocate it.
Just a riot for Rashi over there about
the
chicken.
Yeah. It's the
human.
It's the same thing. It's true.
Can you imagine that being the artwork?
Okay. So what do we have to do over here?
The help of God.
Refining the Tosfos on Orla.
The Tosfos?
What else? You were just thinking about the on the inside.
Oh right. Okay.
Yeah.
So what's so the question of what's the Havamina to say the putter from Orla on the pepper? The Rashba also says something like that, right? You have the Rashba? Didn't you make no? Didn't we?
I've got it.
You have got the Rashba?
That's the wrong one.
Oh. Yeah. Right at the end. At the end, he said one of those small paragraphs. He says, because it's not eaten the end. What do you say? It's not eaten the end? Right?
This is before.
Oh, it's too early?
Yes, must have been before.
Probably not.
No. All right. Yeah, so what do you say? So what do you say? Anybody want to try? Give a try? Nissan, what?
I said I didn't come up with anything.
What question are we doing?
The question of why you would say you're not chayav orla on the palpolim. Yeah.
Say because since the nature of the fruit is that this thing is meant to become a thing which is dry, which we can't call a fruit, that
right.
Dry state we can't call a fruit.
Right.
So then in this state, we'll just say that it's nothing because it's attempting to gain that ultimate definition. So it has
right.
No definition as a
right. Ritipa. It loses the shame pre because the ultimate is that it's going to be not a pre. To support that argument, I would say, how could you support the argument with the case we've done? And that is the grape, correct? Because the grape is only chayav b'orlo when?
In grape form.
When it's pul alavan, kipul alavan, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Kipul alavan. But it's edible before pul alavan, before it's kipul alavan. Right? And you make a bar pri adama if it's smaller than that shear. Right? So it definitely is edible, but yet it doesn't have the shame pre the gabi orlo until it's kipul alavan. Why? That's garua. Why? So we said because the ikar is for the yayin. And until it's a pre of yayin, it has no chiv orla. There's no iser orla until it's the beginning of the yayin. So you see that the ikar of why you're planting it is koveya what it is. In other words, it's mafkia from the regular shame of ochel in the grape. You don't say that it's that it has a din of orla even when it's edible, right? Because you say that the main reason why it's planted is koveya the pri. And since the main reason why it's planted is wine, we disregard the shame. We remove that there is no shame pri until the yayin, until it's a pri yayin, until it's a pri of yayin. So if by the pepper, the whole thing is ultimately to not be a pri, maybe there's no shame pri at all. Why don't you say the same thing? That it's going to be koveya, that this is really an entity, just like yayin is koveya, the grape as an entity of yayin, and that's why it doesn't have a shame pri until the quality of yayin emerges. So this is ultimately going to be not a pri. So I say it's essentially not a pri, and there's no shame pri ever emerges. Right, Michael?
Yeah.
So what do you say? It's a good argument from Bosa. It's a good argument from the grape. It's a good argument from the grape. So you say, John, you have an answer to that question?
Yeah.
Did you have the other side, Michael? Or you just...
Well, I should give an answer to that one, but I didn't like it too much.
You heard
also, now with the grape... I think that that's a stronger disproof to the way he wanted to go.
First you make the guy put the mute button on, and then you...
I didn't mute it. I turned down the volume. He might have his mute button on, but that just means that he can't talk.
I know our mute button's on. There's no point of having this.
Right, defend yourself.
Yeah, put the volume up.
So Moshe, you hear what I'm saying?
What?
I hope you can hear better than we can hear you.
Moshe?
Okay. Is this like on a translator mode or something?
No, you should be able to hear us. Except the reception is really bad down here.
Anyhow. Yeah, go ahead, John.
Yeah, I would say that over here, it's different than the case of the grape, because by the grape, you're planting it adaita for the juice, right? So anything that's not that, it's not, like you're saying, it's not the shame pri, lagave orla. But over here, the dried state is not different, it's not a different entity than the state it's on the tree. In other words, you are planting it for that final state on the tree. The only thing is you're going to take that and you're going to dry it out. It's going to be in a different form. But it's still the same entity. By the grape, the non-juice, it's a different... In other words, you're planning for the juice, so when it's not juice, it's not... That's not what you want it for. But here, you do want the final product of the tree. That is what you want. The only thing is you want to take it and then dry it out. But that's not a new entity. That is adaita dehachi. You're planted adaita for this final product. That is the pri. That's what you want.
So should only wine be chayav in orla?
No, but wine's a non-fruit.
He's saying when you want the pri, saying over there, oh, by wine, you want the pri with juice because you want... No, he's saying what you want in the end is only important, right, insofar as which pri on the tree is the one that you want. Since I want wine, then a pre that is not juicy is not even the right entity.
Meaning that right? What happens later is just like a process you subject that pre which you want to. In other words, the pre that you want is the final product. The only thing is you're going to subject that to a process of drying. But that's not adaita dehachi, meaning like maybe you want a fruit salad in the end. But that's just taking the fruit that you want... And like under like subjecting it to a certain process.
Just a point of clarification: does it harden on the tree or off? Because from the Ramban, I thought it sounded like it grew into its dry state on the tree.
It's a good question. It's a good question. What the Ramban is talking about over there.
It is similar to.
But
actually,
the Ramban is a big chiddush. I don't think Tosfos knows about the Ramban. Well, actually, the Tosfos does say it's the Bar Peradam. It's funny that nobody mentions Tosfos. Everybody's all over the riff and the Rambam saying it's Bavli Adama. Tosfos is Bavli Adama, and nobody seems to mention it. Not even brought down.
It's Tosfos.
I don't know. Anyway,
It is kind of like, I don't know if this is the point that Ken was trying to make, but it's kind of, it's a good point that basically the...
Whether he was trying to make it or not.
The point emerges, which is that even by the wine...
Ken, you're the cause of a good point.
Even by the wine, let's say the grape case, even there, you don't really want the grape with the juice in it, you want the wine.
Right.
Which is a different, you know what I mean? But you don't say because you really want an entity which is not a fruit, it's not a pre. No, but the pre that you want is the one with juice. It's true so that ultimately you can make the wine out of it. But the pre that you want is the one with the juice. So here too, the pre that you want is the final stage. It's true you're going to subject it to a process and dry it out, but the pre that you want is the final pre.
See, because if you read the Ramban differently, he couldn't say that. Because that would mean that the natural state of the pre is to eventually become dry. Meaning, his whole thing is based on a process. That the process is like a foreign thing to the natural development of the pre, whereas like the wine is like...
But even the Ramban, I think even his final black thing is still considered rotiv, isn't it?
Rotiv?
That's still
Oh,
the drying out still it was seen. The drying out is afterwards.
I thought he said, and then it's pepper.
Yeah, because he's still talking about adama.
That's why you make an adama, he's saying.
Right. That's his whole question.
So what's the machlokas, John? I'm confused. What's the machlokas? Or it's not a machlokas, I mean, it's,
I want to see what Moshe wanted to say.
Yeah.
So he wanted to say that the Moschona is saying you can't look at it in terms of man, of what he wants and what he views as the ultimate pre. You can't, because doing so would be denying the manifest reality that there is a fresh pre, botanically, which emerges from the tree.
Okay.
You can't deny that as a shame pre. So since that is shame pre, the Moschona says from Eitz Machal that you do have oral on that because we don't look at it in matter, we look at it botanically. So it's machlokas of which framework you view oral in shame pre of oral.
Okay, give me 1 second.
That was a nice clap.
Well, according to what John's saying, wouldn't it be that the Maskana, that you only look to man's framework when there's a completely different entity that's going to be on the tree, but over here, It's not a different entity when man comes and he makes it yavesh.
See, I would say,
but everyone agrees that the orla, the pre of orla, is defined by a daita. What is your? The other thing is apparently there's two types of a daita dahachi. That's why I can't pin down. One is that it's like. The adai, in a sense, it is descriptively, it is a daita dahi because this is the final fruit you want. But in a sense, it's not a daita dahi because you want to make a yavesh. So what's
right.
That? What's that?
In other words, do you say that the das defines the entity, right? That your das defines the entity. So if my das is to dry it out and make it into tavlin, then it's defined as tavlin, right? Even on the tree, right? Or do you say that your das can be koveya, the ikar tashmish of the pri? You understand? But it's not gonna. It can't be mafkiyat. You can't redefine the entity as a non-pre. In other words, you could say that the pre of the grape has different uses. As a pre, it has different uses. So the das can be koveya. What's the main use?
What, of this how far pre. Your das can go, basically.
Correct. Can your das just be a koveya in other words, can your das remove it from the idea of machol? I agree in some sense, like what Moshe's saying. The das can't go that far to take it out of its intrinsic framework of ochel. If it exists as ochel and it is eaten, the das can't remove it from that. But the das can be koveya in the realm of ochel what its main function is. So the grape will be kavua. No, going from the grape to the wine is not a shinoi in its essential nature. It's not saying that to derive from the grape to the wine that your das can just define it as whatever your das wills it to be is going too far. Because that's a greater shinoi. To say that there are intrinsically, you're saying it was by the yayin, it's still considered the pri. The yayin is still considered the pri. So there are two peros. You can be koveya, what's the ikar pri? Right? But the palpolim to dry it out is to destroy the pri. That's a process of destroying the pri. Your das on that can't go back to be koveya anything in the shame pri. You understand? That would be true if your das could just define the entity. But your das can't define the entity. It is a pri. You can't change that.
What are you saying by yayin?
Yayin, there are two peros. There's the pri of achila and there's the pri of shasiyah.
And you can say which one you want.
So you can say what's the ikar. You understand? But destroying the pri is not a das of the pri anymore. In other words, if you have a legitimate das of the pri, you can define what the pri is. But to say my intention in the end is I'm going to destroy the pri, that's not a qualification of the pri anymore. So the pri is left unqualified. You understand?
Wait, is yayin for grapes that are meant for yayin, chayv, and arla?
All grapes are considered essentially for yayin.
So then, are grapes chayv and arla?
When they get to the shear, that they are capable of being the pri of yayin. You know what I'm saying? That's the pri of yayin. When they get to the shear, that they reflect. When they get to the shear, that the yayin of the pri emerges as a entity, because the yayin is in the yayin is part of the pri.
You say again how the papalim are different?
The papalim are different. Because your das is outside the framework of pri. Now, as if your das is within the framework of pri, the adam can be koveya its ikar use as a pri. Okay. But the das as a non-pri use is not ola. It's just not even ola. It's not das of a pri at all. If you have the das of the pri can be koveya, but if the das is in a different framework, It's not going to change the character of the pri. That would be a different kind of a das. That would be saying that you can just will it to be whatever you want it to be. You can't just will it to be whatever you want it to be.
So what was the
That was the Havamina. Havamina was that if my ikar das is that it's not a pri, then it loses its shame pri completely.
In those cases, you have to be in the framework.
Maskana is it's true by the grapes. You can tinker with it. You can refine it. Or you can isolate it to one element, but it has to be a das in the realm of the pri.
It's like refining like what exactly is going on by the case of the grape.
Correct.
It's not that you're just coming in and finding.
Exactly.
Because you have two.
It's because it exists as a pri already, and there are two of them. You have to know which is the ikar. But it's not just that your das can deem something what it's not. It is a pre. You can't change that. Yeah.
But then shouldn't it be that grapes are only chayv and arla when they become yayin?
No, because everything is from when the beginning of that quality emerges. Even the peiros of achila are usher b'orli even when before they're roy for achila. It's just when the entity of that entity emerges. The entity of the final product emerges.
Right.
You're saying only the apical pre is Chayiv and Orla? Let's say, like, the grape before it becomes Roit and it becomes squeezed for Yayin.
There's no Orla. There's no Isra Orla.
There's no Isra Orla. But so then you're saying that only the... Because that's a pre also, right? You're saying that...
Correct.
There's two pre's there. So you're saying only the Ikra pre is Chayiv and Orla?
Correct.
Yeah.
That's what the halacha tells you. That is true. That there's one pre. And since Yayin is a... that's a machlokas tanoim. That's a machlokas tanoim. That's machlokas Rabbi Yossi and a chacham. That does it go by the... by that Ikra pre or not. But everybody agrees that you can't be mafkia the whole shame pre. But that is the question. That's not chalukas of Yossi and the Tanaim. Do you say that if there is a natural pre, that a das on the on one of those peros is going to be mafkia the das on the other pre? On the other pre, right? Rabbi Yossi held it doesn't. Rabbi Yossi held doesn't. Even smother held is Orla. But we don't hold the way. We hold only Bosa, only Kapul Lava. But there'd be a Havamina to say that if I don't even think it's a pre, then it's nothing.
So like in the way that I'm...
Because at least Smodar and these other things are still in the realm of Adams. Adam still does value them both. It's just one is more than the other. Yeah.
So like in the way the Ramban sets it up, the fact that it becomes white and then black, and then when it's in its black state, that's when it's ready for Papulin. For Orla, it would be in its white state?
Let me just explain. The Ramban is not... To bring the Ramban into this is impossible. Because the Ramban does not learn this is the Havamina in the Gemara. The Ramban doesn't learn this is the Havamina. The Ramban learns the Havamina is different. It's H pre. Dafka, that the Ramban learns different than the way we were saying yesterday. Yesterday we were saying it's not really an idea of H pre. It's just identifying the pepper bush. But the Ramban learns Dafka. It's H pre. It's a conceptual. The eighth pre is the concept according to Ramban. According to the Tosfos and the Rashi, it's not a conceptual eighth pre question. It's a pepper question. Pepper is called an eighth pre though. And how do you know it's not a esrog? Because that's obvious. But according to Ramban, it's not an esrog because the esrog is not an eighth pre in the same way that the pepper is an eighth pre. Right. The eighth pre of the esrog is just that they have the same taste. But the eighth pre of the pepper is saying it really is like eights. It's a pre, it's two things. It's eights and it's pre. Right?
So then how would the Ramban read this machlokas?
Oh, that's he's learning is the very question. Is it considered the pre or is it considered an eights? You're not chayv orla on the eights, you're not chayv orla on the pre.
Tosfos
is not learning factually that they're like the Ramban. Tosfos is not learning that it's an ambiguous bria. Is it an eight? Is it a pre?
Like
it's a pre. It's just like an esrog. Right. So now the question is: so why would you think it's not Orla?
Right.
You understand? But the Ramban, it's obviously a question why it's not Orla, because by its very nature. It's different.
And how does he say that it is? That it is chayv.
Torah says it is.
Yeah, but I mean, like, what would he say is the reasoning behind that limud?
Why
include a vegetable?
It's considered the pre. No, because it's considered the pre. That's what the Torah is telling you. This is not an eight. This is a pre.
I know, but what would the Ramban says that is about this thing which you would think is a vegetable that in fact
but
in Orla we treated
no
like a
pre. But now you're no longer asking me a question on the Tosfos Svara. Now you want to learn the Ramban. We're not ready. We're not learning the Ramban.
Okay.
All right. That's one approach to this.
So the supposition according to both Havim and Skana, according
of Tosfos,
to Tosfos,
yeah,
would be that Yavesh is not chayv in Orla because it's just not an achila in any frame.
No, Yavesh is going to be chayiv in Orla because it's first it's fresh. I don't think it loses the Isser Orla just because the thing is dried out. Question is, There's no question on the dry state. The question is on the wet state, on the fresh state. If it's chayav and oil in the fresh state, it's going to remain oil throughout its
existence. Oh, so it will also be chayav. Yeah.
It's not going to lose the shame oil when it gets dry.
But the question is
that since its ikar is to be a dried out non-ochel, does that remove the shame pri from the beginning? And then even the fresh would not be arla.
But we are assuming that by arla, shame pri is tied to an entity of achila. We are
absolutely.
Okay.
Eitz mahal.
Right.
Okay. So now the question, though, that we didn't deal with, the other question we left off from yesterday, is the machlokas Rav Sheshes and Rava, right? Is the pepper an ochel or not? It would seem it has to be a question of whether it's an ochel, because it seems to correspond to Yom Kippur. Whatever you hold by Yom Kippur, you're going to hold by bracha. If you hold your chayev and Yom Kippur, well, at least we know if you hold your pater and Yom Kippur, you hold there's no bracha. Right? You hold there's no bracha. Yeah. So what do you say? Is he still on? Yeah. So what do you say? Anybody? Matt?
Nishan.
I'm more than a half my ear.
Go ahead.
Everyone, Tavlin.
Tavlin is
an enhancer of it.
Okay.
That's scripted that.
Right.
Everyone agrees that to say something is an enhancement means that it can't be the thing which is enhancing.
Okay.
And you don't say that it's an, like if you took food.
You don't put pepper on pepper.
Right. Or you don't take food. You don't have. You can't say that food is enhancing other food. You're just adding more food.
Okay.
Okay. So therefore, if it's a thing that's talent, then it's not an oil. Okay. But now the question between Rava and Rav Sheshes is, according to Rava, we say something that's talent. It's a definition. It's a chaloshim.
Okay.
And therefore, by definition, this thing is not food.
Okay.
And therefore, you can't make a bracha. According to Rav Sheshes, it's just a description of the thing's function. It's a description of its function. So when we say something's a tavlin, we're just describing a function that it is. It doesn't mean it's not a food. Just right now, it's not acting as a food. It's acting as an enhancement.
Right.
But if you use it as a food, then you can use it as a food.
Okay. So let's just carry through your thought.
Okay.
Into more halachic, right? Now, it's important sometimes just to phrase it right. So what are you saying? I think Rava is saying that what? That since it has the shame tavlin, because everybody agrees it can be eaten even in this dry state. It has to be that. Can be eaten in this dry state, right? But essentially, like the Rush, essentially though, it's eaten with other foods. As a tavlin. So now it exists somewhat in two ways, essentially more predominantly in the tavlin. So Rava is saying that what? That since it exists as tavlin essentially, then what?
Has like a shame tavlin.
And what does that do?
It's mafkia.
It's mafkia the other aspect of it. Right? That once it has the idea of tavlin, it's mafkia the shame ochel. It can't be considered at the same time a tavlin and an ochel. So if it's essentially functions for tavlin, that's mafkia the shame ochel. And Rav Sheshes is saying they can both coexist. Right? Something can be at once a tavlin and an ochel. Not in the same pot, but in different functions. In other words, the way you put it is that what that tavlin is a shame, right? Or a description. But I just think you should just
or function.
Or function. But you should express a little more clearly what it means to be shame. It means to say that it's koveya this entity, which is going to be mafkia any other quality. But why should that be? I mean, can we get down a little further? I mean, that is true. Factually, that is a good definition. Definitively, that's what they're saying. that Rav is saying the shame tavlin is mafkia, all the shame ochel, right? And Rav Sheish said no, the shame tavlin is not a tar to the sasri to the shame ochel, because like Nisan is saying, the question is the shame a definition of the entity, or it's a functional definition of a function. An entity can only have one definition. But something can function two ways. It'd be pepper that functions two ways. Yes, or indeed. It's tavlin.
Wait, but factually, when is it? It's tavlin when you dry it up and then you grind it?
Yeah.
So well, why? But Ritifta, wouldn't Rava agree that Ritifta would have a bracha?
No, when it's a tavlin, when it functions, when it's in its tavlin state, it's only in one. It only exists as one thing. Because when it's dried and ground, it's because now it's transformed into a tavlin, it loses its shem ochel.
It seems a little hard to say like Rava, because couldn't anything theoretically be used as a tavlin? I mean, like, I could use caviar as a garnish.
But then you wouldn't call it a tavlin. Apparently you wouldn't call it a tavlin.
So he's saying that tavlin only exists definitively, it doesn't exist descriptively?
That's a category. Tavlin is another category. Like the Rambam says. The Rambam says, why is it no bracha? Because it is tavlin. It's a new entity. That's apparently machlokas, Rav and Rav Sheshes. Is there such a thing in the realm of the edible, an entity that's edible but is relegated to a different shame of tavlin and therefore loses shame ochel?
Yeah.
It's a chiddush. Yeah.
I don't.
Just give me one second.
Shackle.
I don't understand why you're changing like the way from Nissan's formulation. Because
not.
You're saying,
am I changing your formulation?
No, I didn't see my
you're saying about it.
No, just because you're saying that you're saying Quinn and One Sheep is the Shem Talvin and the Shem Ocho can coexist, right? But I thought the way Nissan was saying, maybe I'm just projecting what I was. But what I thought what he's saying is that there is no Shem Talvin. In other words, Talvin is not a Chal Shem.
Well, that's just semantics. That's just semantics. That's what I said. I said the Shem is not a definitive idea.
Oh, I thought the definition of Shem is definitive.
No, sometimes you can call it's definitely called a tavlin. There's no question it's called tavlin.
No, but that's not a chal shame.
That's
the thing.
Okay, fine, but it's still called tavlin. Tavlin
right.
is just
tavlin
an equivocal shame.
It's just a function.
It's an equivocal shame.
You know about quibble.
What?
It's not quibble over the equivocal. Okay.
No,
it's a good sign. Don't quibble over the equivocal. Nobody gets it. Okay. So, anyway. Good bumper sticker, right? Probably caused more traffic actually. Okay. So, yeah. So, what do you say? What do you say?
You're asking now, though, what's the reading?
Yeah, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and that's true. That's where they end up.
Right, the question has to.
But, I mean, the question would seem to be on Rava. I mean, because Rava really takes this far, even into Yom Kippur. So he's certain about this. Yeah. Right, John? What do you say? And Melech is a little trouble. Melech is a little troublesome. Right? You make a bracha on salt. Everybody was surprised when they saw that, right?
Mm-hmm. The idea about Yishuv Hadas and Nafila, is that only...
That's a good question, Yishuv Hadas. I mean, Rashi says that in Yuma,
right?
Right,
I was just wondering, is that Achila in general, or just by any difference?
What's Yishuv Hadas?
Because there are some foods that you're... there are other foods. There are certain things that are food that you're not chayev on Yom Kippur. I think like chametz. You do make a bracha on it, but you still...
So Yishuv Hadas is not defining Achila in general, it's defining... It's the Isra of Yom Kippur, right?
Yeah.
Right. So that's, I mean, I'm just confused why Rashi... says
it's a good
that.
Question.
He finds all the rest
it's
of the Gemara.
It's a good question.
Oh, you see,
it's difficult.
Because of the Mishnah, you know.
It's difficult, or Rashi says that. I think somebody mentions that. It's difficult.
You just say it's
right.
Well, what's Yishuv Hadas?
That's the Issa by Yom Kippur. It's not just any Achila. It's an Achila that has Yishuv Hadas. See, yeah, that's see the side of here? See on the side of here, Misar Shas? He says... Wait, no, is that the wrong one? Oh, that's a different one. Alright. Yeah. Yeah. So what do you say? See, I was trying to say, I was saying yesterday that it's similar to the Sa'orim case. Similar to the Sa'orim case, to the Chita of Sa'orim. Yet over there we said, can't remove it from the Shem Ocho. Right? Still make a shakal on the Chita of Sa'orim. I mean, the flower of with barley flour. You still make a shakal on it. Because the reason why it's not eaten is does not stem from its food qualities. Right? But over here it does. Over here it does. Over here the reason why it's essentially used as a tavlin and not as an ochel is because of its tam. The hanoah that's achieved from it is greater as a tavlin than as an ochel. Right? Rava held, that's enough to be koveya, what it essentially is. That since over here, the kvias comes from its qualities in the realm of Hanor, that's Koveya, the entity in the realm of Achila. Whereas Rav Sheshes went even further in his idea of what is required to be Mafkia, the shame of Ochel. He held it's not enough. Now, as we said by the Kamach of Sa'orim, we said that since the reason why you choose not to eat it is outside the realm of Ochlim, right, that's not going to be Mafkia the Shem Ochel. Rav Shesha, and over here, you choose to use it essentially as a spice because of the realm of Ochel. Correct? But Rosh Hashanah is held as long as it still has some hanos achila, it will not be removed from the category of ochel. In other words, that's the question between Rosh Hashanah and Rava. To remove something from the category of ochel, everybody agrees it has to be based on a phenomenon within the realm of ochel. Okay? Rava held that you can be koveya its definition in the realm of ochel by what its qualities of hanah dictate its primary use to be. Since over here it dictates that it's tavlin, in the realm of ochlim it's tavlin because it's coming from the realm of ochlim. But Rav Sheshes held to be mafkia, the shame ochel, it's not enough that in the realm of ochel is another use. It has to be that in the realm of ochel, it has no use. You understand what I'm saying?
Not rather?
No. Therefore, you'd still make a shakal if you ate pepper, according to Rav Sheshes. Because it's true there's another better use. But he holds you can't be he holds not a question of defining it in the realm of Ochel and giving it a shame. Because in terms of, in that sense, Rava is right. That if you have to choose a shame for this thing in the realm of the Achila, from its own qualities, it's not like the Kimchot Asari, from its own qualities, it would demand that it's a non-Ochel. It would demand the shame Tavlin. But Rav Shesha says that you can't remove its intrinsic quality. The only thing that can remove it from the whole realm of Ochel is that it's mufka from the realm of Ochel. Like a piece of wood. As long as it still has hano'as achila, the fact that there's a better use for it still cannot affect that shame, the shame ochel that it has.
And what's Rava?
And Rava says that as long as the determination is coming from the same realm, which is achila, and in the realm of achila, it has a better use as tavlin, then it's kavua as tavlin. And it's mufka from ochel. In other words, it's not like the kimcha de sa'ori, that it's not eaten for an external reason. It's not even a reason in the realm of ochlim. That's not a reason within the realm of hanah.
What's the reason for the
bottom? Because it gives you bad stomach problems. So Rava says over here, though, the reason is from the realm of ochel. It is its comparative utility in the realm of hanah. And in this realm, the definition of tavlin is its predominant use. So in the realm of ochlim, you can be koveya this as tavlin, and that automatically is mafkia the shem ochel. Rav Sheshes holds can't be mafkia the shem ochel unless it stems from that very shem ochel, which is as not roy as an ochel. Just the fact that it has a better use in the same, in an equivalence, in the same realm, is not going to be mafkiya l'shem ochel. It's hard to get a little deeper, but I mean, you can try to get a little deeper. Yeah.
Are you saying, according to Rebbe, he's looking at it in terms of its derech achila, and
right,
according to Rav Sheshes, then he's looking at it that man just has anar on it, and since he has anar on it, he has to make a bracha.
That's correct. He's saying you still are getting anar from it. But that's why it's still an ochel. That's why it still is an ochel. Whereas Rava held that since they're equal realms, now since its use as tavlin versus its use as ochlim are both within the realm of achila, as opposed to the kimcha desori, they're different realms. So since Rava held, since they're in the same realm, it can be koveya it as a tavlin in the realm of achila, which is automatically mafkia the shem ochel.
They're in the same realm.
Yeah, they're in the realm of taste. As taste goes, what is the better use of pepper?
People are
right, as opposed to the kimcha desori, is its two competing concerns: taste versus stomach problems. So they don't meet. They don't interact. There's no interaction, right? Getting back to the run, there's no interaction. So Rav is saying, though, that by the palpolim, there is. It's two ways of enjoying the pepper. And they're definitively different. So the entity has to have a definition. So that's why the tam will be koveya this as a spice. It will be koveya this as a spice, and it will be mufka from the realm of ochel. Whereas Rav Shesha says, the realm of ochel, the realm of, I mean, we have to define, I mean, I guess you could define a little bit better what exactly, how they're viewing the entity as an ochel. But I'm saying that Rav is saying, I'm saying you're right, I'm not saying there's much more than you're saying. And Rav is saying there is a shame and a kvias in the realm of ochel. And tavlin versus ochel, tavlin versus the thing itself, are competing shamos. And therefore, one has to be kavua. And whatever that kvias is, will be mafkia the other one. Whereas Rav Sheshe says, it's not enough to be mafkia the shame ochel because there's another idea even within its realm of tam. That's not enough. It can only be mafkia the shame ochel in its own realm, in the realm of the thing as a food, that it doesn't qualify. As long as it qualifies as a food, the fact that it also qualifies as a tavlin can't remove that shame.
What's the difference between those two concepts about the thing in its own realm as a food versus in the realm of tam or achila? You know what I mean?
No, it's a thing as an essential entity of achila. A person would just eat pepper, right?
Right.
Versus using it as a spice, right? So now those are two functions in the realm of achila.
Right.
Right? In the realm of foods, in the realm of the edible, some things are eaten essentially, and some things are just used as additives, right? Some things are just used as additives. Now, in the realm of pepper,
its primary value is as an additive.
It's primarily defined as an additive.
Right. But that still is a part of the.
But that's in the right. But so now, how would you be koveya this in the realm of food? So Rav would say, well, you have no choice but to be koveya it as a spice. And that automatically is mafkia its other shame in this realm. Whereas Rav Sheshe seems to hold that there are different realms. And just because it essentially, it has a predominant use as a tavlin, that still is different from the realm of food as an ikra. And as long as it can still be eaten as food as an ikar, can't be mufka from that. Yeah.
What is
apparently salt is equal. Salt has sometimes a use on its own, and sometimes a use as tavlin. But you can't say predominantly which one is the thing. Yeah.
Why does Rava force that definition away? I mean, like, it does function as an ochel.
Why? No, it doesn't really function as an ochel. It can be eaten. It doesn't really function as an ochel. See, that's the thing. It's not like salt. Salt does function as an ochel, too.
Well, if you're saying that it can't possibly function as an ochel, how could Rav Sheshe hold his side?
Because he holds, you have to be mafkia it from achila. In other words, when I say it can't function as an ochel, I don't mean to say that you can't eat it
right, and
get some hana out of it. But I'm saying nobody ever does that. Nobody ever does that. It's not the way to do it. Now, is that enough to be mafkia the shame ochel? So Rava says it is, since I have another definition for it as tavlin, so then I can give it that other definition.
Right.
Now, it's normally things that are not normally eaten, but you do get a hanah from, you would still make a bracha on, right? You still would make a bracha like the salt. It's not normally eaten, but you do make a bracha on it. But Rava is saying that's because I can't remove it from the shame, from the category of ochel. Because there's no way, I can't completely define it out of this category. But he's saying since it does have a more ikker definition of tavlin, I can be kovei it as a different entity. And now it's not an entity of achila at all. No, it's just like I was saying the other day. Other things that are not normally eaten, sometimes a guy wants them. You know what I mean? And in that case, he's treating it as an ochel. But that's because it's not defined. It's just not defined in any way. But Rav is saying, if this is defined already as tavlin, then you can never engage it as ochel. It's mufka already from the whole category.
So what category is Rav, you know, the category that includes both those things? Tavlin and ochel, what category is that?
It's things that are royal achila. I mean, it's an interesting thing that's going to come back to Yom Kippur. because you only chayav Yom Kippur if you eat something that's roi l'achila.
He holds you
pata,
right?
He holds you pata because it's because of its shame. What's its definition? No, Rav.
What does Rav Shishas tell us? He tells chayev or?
Meaning because from this Gemara we see Rav Shishas tells you chayev. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara just says that if you hold your pata in Yom Kippur, you must be that there's no bracha, right? It's possible to say yes. So then you mean to say Rav Shishas would have to hold you chayev, right? Yeah.
You just said that category is that it's roi l'achila.
Right.
That Rava's category is that it's roi l'achila.
Right.
So shouldn't you be chayav
anymore? No, because
now we're defining the title of that. We're saying, no, sometimes
the
things that are. That doesn't mean that it's practically edible. Because if you can eat it, then it's practically edible. Right? But there are things that if a person chews on eats grass, it's not exactly he did consume it, but he's not chayav. But it's not roi l'achila, I ate it, right? But that's not a shame achila, right? So that's what I'm saying, that if the guy eats, saying that depends on if it can be defined out of the realm of achila. If it can be mufka from the realm, if it's shame that it has, removes it from the realm of ocha. So if it's something that doesn't have another use and sometimes and it can be eaten, so then it's true it's not something people make a meal out of, but the shame of being an ocha still exists. It's unaffected. But the fact that it's not eaten frequently doesn't remove its shame ocha. Right? But Rava says, but if I can give it another shame, that will remove its shame ocha. Right? That's the machlokas though. Rav Shish told you can never remove that shame ochel.
But it's more than grass though.
It's more than grass, correct.